Forever! Dog!
Greetings. It is I, Joe Rohde. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person. I'm in deepest Bora Bora, gathering artifacts for my collection. As you know, I'm quite the collector. And soon, the Rohde Collection will unveil its most prized acquisition. The Good Boys of the Galaxy. You see, 2.5 years ago, Mike, Scott, and Jason put on a little live show where they made fun of my precious ear thing. So in March of 2020, I locked them down in total isolation, where they could never do a live show again. That's right, girl. They can't make fun of you now. In a few minutes, you will be taken to encounter the Good Boys on the Dynasty Typewriter Gantry. But first, you'll see my private office, full of pieces from all around the galaxy. And soon, you'll be able to travel the galaxy on Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic. Virgin Galactic. We've got a fun billionaire. You know, when Dickie Branson first called me, he said, Joe, they're never gonna let you build that second island.
All right, hang on. Let's
shut
mute this guy
up.
No way!
I liked that guy better when his sound wasn't working.
Yeah! Keep him muted, I say. What's going on, everybody? It's us, Three Rockets!
Yeah!
It's so good to see you guys, but under not so great of circumstances. Let me tell you what's happening. That crazy Joe Rohde, he has captured the Good Boys in the Dynasty Typewriter Gantry lift. We gotta do something. We gotta bust them out of there.
Yeah, he could have at least sent them to Alani Resort.
Somewhere nice that he has access to.
The Alani prison.
Yeah.
But they're just up there rotten. They've been up there since March of 2020. That's why they couldn't do a live show. It had nothing to do with the other thing.
Yeah, don't think about the other thing.
Don't give one thought to the other thing.
Think about the other thing. I'm sure it won't get referenced tonight at all ever again.
Not on anybody's mind. But we got to do something, right? What are we going to do?
We got a plan. We're going to take the Dynasty Typewriter gantry lift up to the Dynasty Typewriter generator in this historic, beautiful building.
Yeah.
Blow the generator, which will unleash all of the cages that they have in this old comedy theater, and free the Good Boys.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully it won't free any other podcasters too.
Oh no.
Just those three guys we like.
Could get very confusing otherwise. More than three voices.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro ain't locked up in here, hopefully.
We never know what monsters we could unleash.
Oh, Monsters After Dark. Scary.
Okay. So that's the plan. That's what we're going to do. And let's go do the... Wait a minute. I forgot one thing. We better address the elephant in the room, the hitch in the plan.
Yeah, that's a hitch. It's incredibly complicated.
Let's pay attention to what we're going to say to you now.
Take some notes, perhaps. How do we put this? Okay, it involves certain appendages.
Yeah.
Certain parts of the body.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to talk about,
really.
Yeah,
let's go back a little. Okay, you guys know arms? Okay, the thing at the end of arms. Now, hold on. I know what you think. It's shoulders. Nope, wrong way. Up, that's up.
Stop.
You want to go down the arm.
Not wrists.
Keep going.
Wrists are great. Our flexibility is fine.
We love wrists, but we ain't talking about wrists.
It's really what's attached to those risks. Let's just, I guess, out with it. Here's the issue. Our hands
don't
scan.
Okay.
Oh, wow. It's like you guys were ahead of us. You somehow knew the issue. Well, here's really the where it becomes a trivia challenge, because do you know the second part? It involves you. Hint. Okay, let's see. Our hands don't scan. Yours do.
Yours do, yeah.
Okay, great.
They're way ahead of us on this.
Yeah.
So smart.
Should we say it one more time just to reiterate? I really want to make sure everybody got it.
Yeah, let's say it. Let's make a meal out of it.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's all raise our voices and make sure we understand the situation. Okay, all together now. Our hands don't scan.
Yours do.
Wow. Give yourselves a round of applause. With your hands that scan, ours do not. I shouldn't keep reiterating. I think they get it.
I think they understand.
So we can move on with the rest of the plan. And here's what it is. When we give you the signal, you are going to raise your hands, and that way you get the clearance and the chaos can begin.
Yeah.
The chaos of three men in their 30s calmly talking about a theme park attraction.
Yeah. Chaos.
And you know, it's been a while. They might want to amend that. They're pretty firmly late 30s.
We got older, folks.
We all did.
Sorry.
We all lived a lifetime in these last 2 years. Oh, there I am bringing up the thing again. Okay, let's cut that off and let's get on with the show. We understand the plan, right? We all understand the plan.
Okay. Yeah, we know.
Then here we go. Let's get this show on the road. Here we go.
Okay.
This is the part. This is where it all happens.
We're gonna plug in this Zoom recorder, a podcaster's best friend. Now just ignore the scotch tape on the back holding the battery compartment on. It's for professional fidelity. Don't worry about it.
Okay, all so right. When we plug this thing, when the rockets plug you in, Podcast The Ride does its first live show in over 2 years.
Yeah!
Are you ready?
I love it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's the moment. Let's...
Okay. It's... All right, hold. I never get this right. Hold on.
Which way? The center peg.
Yeah,
which way does that go?
I know. It's always the center. Yeah, okay. You know what? This may be more of a one-person thing, so why don't you take that?
The microphone there, and let's see it in 1 sec. You know what? I say close enough. Okay, let's do this!
Yes!
Yeah.
All right, let's see those hands, people! You got clearance. It's my Podcast The Ride Live!
Hello. Whoa. Hi. Hello. Oh, I still have a tail. I forgot about the tail.
What tail? We're us. We've been trapped for years. And we're out.
Hey. We're us.
Finally out. And you're out, too. You're out in a real place. Welcome to Podcast The Ride, a theme park about podcasts that's coming to you live from a room of 200 people who are not on Zoom. This is not on Zoom.
I think you said a theme park about podcasts.
Theme park. Oh, geez, I'm just so excited. I'm getting mixed up.
We're Rusty doing a live show, folks. So, yeah, we're going to say things tonight that are going to be weird.
Yes, brain farts aplenty. Hopefully just brain farts.
No real farts.
No.
We can promise. We'll try to promise that.
That's not our humor.
It's a bit body.
It's a bit body. So
that would be a bit body.
No.
Yeah, well, speaking of getting mixed up, we forgot the part where we say our names. My name is Scott Gardner. Hi, everybody. And your names?
I'm Jason Sheridan. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michael Carlson. Mike Carlson, whatever. Oh, I say boy. Mike on the show. Why did I say Michael?
You're giving your official, like, SAG registered name to the audience.
Well, no, I didn't even do that. My SAG name is Michael R. Carlson.
Yeah.
Because there is already a Michael Carlson, or is there a Mike Carlson? I forget.
Something
I
like
hate
that.
Him. Get out of the business.
Boo.
Leave room for our Michael Carlson. Just to take things down for a sec, this is incredible. I'm so happy you guys
Gosh,
are here.
Yeah.
We've waited so long to do this. I thought so much through those. I probably like pathetically practiced to a wall, like, "Hey, Podcast Friday's live. We're back for the first time in 4 months," and then it kept getting longer and longer and longer. But now we're here. We're doing it in a Dynasty typewriter, which we love. We're so happy.
Thank you.
Well, this feels great.
Yeah, I'm glad like people are still here. And there's still you're like, I got 2 years is a long time. You're like, yeah, there's a new theme park podcast we like now. You know, that's possible.
No
there's
way.
A bunch of people that do a theme park podcast, it's not just about Aerosmith. Like, they don't talk about, you know what I like about this theme park podcast? No Aerosmith talk.
I could see that being refreshing.
It's possible.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't hold it against you
A
guys.
Podcast about theme parks that talks about rides more often. Could have its appeal.
Aren't there enough of those?
He's right. Jason's right. Jason's right. We're doing it perfectly. But thank you for coming.
Oh, my God.
Mwah.
If we're getting cheap reactions from everybody, there's one thing that I've dreamed about in all of this time. I've really been waiting for this, and I hope you guys can help me out with it. Okay, here we go. If I need to make a telephone call...
You asked for it! That's the new one! Asshole Mickey in the house!
Asshole Mickey's here.
I don't think I can do Mickey after Rocket. That's not a good voice cocktail.
No.
Yeah,
that's too hard.
Rocketified.
Can I say real quick, as far as we're going to get some cheap reactions?
Yes. That's all it's
As I was driving here, and I didn't realize this because it obviously wasn't on my radar, maybe the last time I was driving through Echo Park, there is a street called Clifford Drive, like 5 minutes from here. And I thought that was a good sign. I thought that was a sign the show was going to go well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got out and I kissed the sign. I got back in the car and I drove here.
We haven't had the chance to, the Clifford's thing is new. By round of applause.
Somebody made a noise that like they're sick. They got sick to the stomach.
What do you do first?
Any reaction's a good reaction, right?
Round of applause. Do you like being called Clifford's?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm worried.
Pretty
though.
Good.
By round of applause, do you not like being called Clifford's?
Ah, a substantial showing for the latter.
I think there was less people but stronger claps. That's my reading of it.
They've been storing it up for a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. It feels really great. The last time that we were in front of an audience of any kind, it was a pop-up performance art show in an about-to-close electronics store in Anaheim.
That's right.
I got to be in a video for Fry's Electronics for precisely 2 days before the store shut down forever. It's probably the reason it got to happen in general. Was anyone here at that also? Oh, great. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, you got to see the like home theater screening room, what seemed like it was about to collapse on us when we were sitting in there.
Yeah, the wrecking ball might have come through right then and there.
Yeah, knocking the asbestos right out of the walls.
Just a bunch of dorks in there. Who cares?
Yeah. Really,
but so that's the last time we were in front of you. I'm so glad you guys are back. There was one special guest at that occasion, which was my son. Thank you.
You knew what you were doing.
I wasn't sure.
At that point in time, he was negative 6 weeks old, and he was still in the womb. Now, so much time has passed, he is almost 2 years old. And my wonderful wife Erin and I just had the great occasion of taking him to Disneyland for the first time. We have a photo.
Look at that!
Oh.
Pretty cute, huh?
Had to get some cheap applause for that. There he is, eyeing his next victim.
Oh, pretty young, huh? Too late for you. Another one of your dad's kind, huh? Got you. Your dad's making money off my back. I hear of a little joke they make, and I'm keeping score. There's a reason we vet who comes to Galactic Star Cruiser.
Nonetheless, wonderful moment. We did a lot of fun stuff with him that day. One thing that we did not take him on, can't imagine how this could have been possible, but he was not allowed on the ride that is the topic for tonight's episode, which if you hadn't guessed already, it is related to what we started doing earlier tonight.
What if it wasn't? Hey, it's the teacups! Surprise!
We did tie these things together. Tonight we are talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm excited. You know, it was a big night, and I think we had to do a big one and a fun one. I've been thinking about, I've been a little self-conscious about, so far in 2022... been a lot of like weird unpleasant shit, right?
That we've done or just in general?
Yeah. No. I mean, but you know, because it's been all these failed restaurants tours,
Air Armageddon.
Yeah. Not so much talking about the possibility of Armageddon, but the ride.
The ride itself. Armageddon is good. The movie's good. The ride is bad.
Right. Jay Bigga, we've had to.
Yeah.
Through. I mean, that's not the worst thing. And ladies and gentlemen, joining us tonight.
Joining us tonight to beat the shit out of us.
He hates being called a Clifford, too.
No, but this, I think, I'm so excited to do for a celebration, which this is tonight, to do a ride that is a celebration, that's a lot of fun, and that I think we're all extremely fond of.
I think so.
And with that, let's step steps backwards into our chairs.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, it's getting rough.
Podcaster's natural position.
All the way back.
Leaning back.
Scratching.
Really making a meal out of it. So we're doing Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, which is different. The last time we were at Dynasty, we did Superstar Limo, which is not as popular for all of you, but not for like a normal person. And I mean that in the best way.
This is one people go on.
People go on it. They get excited to go on it. Where to start?
What's one thing maybe is we're leading it by saying that we all like this attraction a lot, the three of us. But what is what?
That's
are your
what I was
going to
ask. Yes,
I keep turning to the audience. I guess
I'm curious.
So excited to have one. I'm going to turn this into Maury or something. Let's go to the audience. What's the question? I guess like...
Well, it's. I think it's Tower of Terror is a ride everyone loves, but in hindsight now, I think let's get the same applause-o-meter that we did for the Clifford's question, and let's ask, are you happy now
that this was changed to Guardians, or are you still mad and you want Tower back? So let's do the first question.
Yeah.
Are you happy they changed this to Guardians of the Galaxy? Pretty good. Pretty sustained. Are you upset?
Oh. This is the same thing, though. Less people, stronger claps. I know it. I can hear it.
Those are sweaty claps.
Yeah. That's like somebody's going to throw their shoulder out doing it, like trying to get the volume up.
You're stinging now.
Hard claps for the abbreviated Tower of Terror. The abbreviated, like, quick fix for California Adventure.
It's like the Chili's to go of Tower of Terror. Yeah.
Do we think there's anything about that Tower of Terror as opposed to the other ones? That, you know, it's not this new story like Japan had.
Yeah.
It's not like markedly worse and boring like Paris. That's probably the same as what we had. I don't know what I'm saying. But like, was there anything like only that tower had it?
No, right?
Is there anything anyone could shout out that's like this?
Is there something special about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the answer is no.
Right. You're answering for
yeah. Which
justice.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to have the Tower of Terror here. I will say that. I wasn't mad.
Yeah.
I like the Tower of Terror a lot. Avoid some plane trips. What was that?
No Chris Pratt.
Got him. Got him.
That wasn't picked up.
You
no
know
Chris
he's going to be in like a Tower of Terror movie in the next 10 years. And they would have added him to it. It was bound to happen.
There was, you know, people were a little bit mad when this change out was announced. There was, I think, summer of 2016, the rumors started flying about this, and it seemed like a weird rumor. At
oh
first.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It was. I remember where I was. I'm not kidding. We were at Comic-Con, I believe, when the rumor popped up.
Well, and then it was announced at Comic-Con, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
All those people flooded out of the room, screaming and flailing.
It was.
I mean, that's a pretty warm audience to announce it,
yeah.
I feel
it was
like.
Jim Hill mentioned it a few weeks before, I think, it was announced.
Yeah.
It was like Jim Hill was like a trial balloon to see how people would react. It was a crazy rumor. It felt like it was not. There's no way that's true.
It seemed very odd. And then when it was officially announced and then the turnaround time, like it's announced in summer 2016, Tower of Terror closes January 2017, Guardians opens May 27th, 2017, same day as Pandora World of Avatar on the other coast. Big weekend for Rhodey. Big weekend for Joe Rhodey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also, I mean, that's fast for any theme park company. That is lightning fast for Disney.
Yeah. That's part of what seemed weird about it, I would think. Yeah. No, incredible. That was him. That was like Phil Collins getting to be at both Live Aids, but taking the Concorde. My favorite semi-relevant reference. Enough people.
It's like that Foo Fighters releasing the acoustic album and the electric album the same day. You know? It's like everyone's thinking about it.
Look, I'm in a good mood because we're in front of people and I'm happy to be back, so I will throw this your way. Do you think that a reasonable analog is like Guardians of the Galaxy is like a perfect Green Day album as opposed to one that is slightly less than perfect?
The answer is yes. The answer is it's perfect like American Idiot or Dookie or... Honestly, I like Nimrod a lot. There might be a couple tracks you could cut, but honestly, why would you?
I'm not in that good of a mood.
Fair enough. I would love to see some Green Day on the ride, but
when they go 90s, when it's the 90s refresh. Let me say something about when this announcement was made and people who were not terribly happy about it. I wouldn't have known about this article except they flashed to it really quickly in the Imagineering story when they're explaining all this. There's an article in Slate And the headline of the article is, Disneyland's Tower of Terror is closing. This is a national tragedy. And I got curious what the rest of it was. An important context for the little bit I'm going to read is that this is from October 12th, 2016. Just place yourself in what was happening then. I'm bringing up an even worse time. Chilled the room. So I have clicked on what I think is an article about a ride closing and getting replaced by another ride that'll probably be okay. And then it starts, this past Sunday, as I watched one of our country's presidential nominees threaten to put his opponent in prison, I was reminded of my favorite quote by Friedrich Nietzsche. Where are we? Look, I guess I can't blame this person. This is probably what any of us would have written about any topic.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about gumballs? Well,
what do you
American
think about
simulacrum?
What do you think about hot dogs?
Well, Baudrillard once said.
No, it's a crazy, and then further in, and yet shortly before, please, sweet, merciful Christ on a pony, someone who is not Donald Trump takes the oath of office this coming January of 2017.
Oops!
The California Tower of Terror will take its final drop. So, neither issue worked out the way this slate person wanted it to go.
On the brighter side, both Avatar and Guardians of the Galaxy feature Zoe Saldana. So there's that.
Yeah.
That's a little brighter, huh? Right? She's kind of the connection between the movie. And I think soon they could introduce the Seed Bearer's Big Seed into both of these attractions. The Sea Bearer, one of the hypothetical titles of, I think it's the third Avatar. Way of Water is second, okay? So you put the Seed Bearer in the queue for Guardians, and then you put the big seed. No, you put the big seed in the queue. And then
hold on,
meet and greets at Pandora.
hold on.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just blue skying. I just got a little caught up in it.
I'm just interested. Do you think there's a very large seed in that movie?
Okay. I think if it's called the Seed Bearer, it's one of two things. There's either one real big seed, or there's a person with a lot of little seeds. And I think they're just going to cheap out. I think it's going to be too cheap to just do a lot of little seeds in the Guardians queue.
The Seed Bearer would seem to indicate there's one entity that is the bearer. So this entity would have to be very large to carry a large seed.
Yeah, he's an avatar. Or whatever they're called. That's not
okay, wait. Okay, wait. Well, I don't want to get this completely off the rails here. But when you say large seed, do you mean like a foot? Because that's a large seed.
Yeah, I think like a big thing. Or it could be even bigger. I mean, not to jump too far ahead, like the Adam Warlock cocoon that's in the Guardians queue, they could just swap out the sign. And
but even
go, like big seed. The Seed Bearer's big seed.
But a seed is normally this big, so yeah, even a 5-inch seed is a big seed.
Well, but it's not. But on the world of Pandora, in the Hallelujah Mountains, that's not going to grow much. A little seed's not going to grow much.
Not going to grow much. I think a 5-inch seed would grow.
I think it would grow. Yeah, no, it'll grow something. But you want? I mean, if it's big trees with those big mountains.
What do you think the seed looked like when the like forests up in Northern California? They were little.
At some point.
That's my point.
Maybe.
All right.
I'm surprised that I'm leaning Jason's way, and I'll scoot this way to prove that I am. But I think, okay, yeah, you're right. The Northern California trees are big, but that big tree in Avatar, that's one of the hugest trees I ever see, the one that burns down, and they need a new one of those. They can't like wait around for a little seed to grow. They got to start big.
Oh, so you think, okay, again, not to get off the rails here, but you think when the seed is bigger, the actual thing it's growing starts bigger.
I think only in this universe, in the imagination of James Cameron.
So
the answer is yes.
So it's almost like it's a big seed, you put it in the ground and like something grows that's like pony size within like a week.
That's just a root. So in the grand scheme of the tree, that's just a little root.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait 11 years to find out.
Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where this began.
Okay, I like these movies.
I think that's right. I think the box office reflects that. I think a lot of people like these movies,
like
Michael.
Cult's opinion, I guess.
They're fun movies. I mean, it's not Citizen Kane. But it must.
Do you typically judge things on that scale?
I'm a film aficionado who only compares things to Citizen Kane.
So when you're watching one of your favorite films, such as the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
That's true.
Is this a Citizen Kane?
Will they make a ride based on the Paul Lynde Halloween special? So I was like reasonably when I heard that, I was like, it seems like a bad idea. I did think that, even though I was like, oh, the movies are a fun little distraction.
Yeah, if we unpack that, why did we think, I guess maybe the rush job nature of it, and maybe it seemed a little gross, like let's jam a currently popular thing in as fast as possible. That could have mixed results.
And it did seem like, I guess I was thinking Tower of Terror seemed untouchable. I think that's like, as much as we like to make fun of like when people pick it when a ride is going away, there are still a bunch of things that like, I go, well, I never, and I get very upset. Like that Polynesian weird hotel thing, the expansion, I was like, I am so, like, I'm embarrassed that I'm like so upset about this. But it definitely felt, like when they announced a change, I was like, well, that's not gonna, how would that work? Show me how that would work.
And at that time in 2016, 17, you're like, this is the angriest an announcement from the Disney company will ever make me.
This one, nothing could be worse.
To tie things together, I think that the reason that this happened is it's 2016 or so, and Disney's owned Marvel for like 5 years, and they're looking around and saying, why we have not done anything like big and permanent with Marvel. Why are we not? And I think the person leading this charge was the then chairman of Parks and Resorts, whose name is Bob Chapek. I thought everybody could use.
We knew that was coming. Sure. Yeah.
Feels pretty good.
Yeah, you heard us.
Was this his last win? Because it's just been L after L since then.
It's a stunning record at this point.
It's really,
of like basic corporate confidence, or competence, I should say. So he was there. He was there at the...
So I think he was feeling it. This gets presented to Joe Rohde, who is refreshingly not towing the party line. I feel like in every interview that I found Joe Rohde doing about this attraction, that he admits that his initial thought was, that sounds stupid. That does it. So if your first reaction was that, Mike, and that was the reaction of the person who made the thing.
Right. So Joe and I, same page as far as our feelings. Yeah.
That's why we wandered into his collection to try to connect on this point.
Right.
And we were stuck for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, he fights through that. That's what he said. That's impossible. That's a dumb idea. But then you have to work your way through that. I don't think they knew it was Guardians of the Galaxy initially. Apparently, they considered something with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. They considered something with Doctor Strange. I don't know what those could have been. But Guardians of the Galaxy was extremely popular at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then the second one on the way, they're filming it as they're having this idea, which means everybody's in one place and they can actually film stuff with the cast, which they did. All our favorites are back. Most of the audience's favorites are back.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think, like, because Spider-Man makes some sense, I feel like. You know, you're going up and down. There's like, if maybe it's a skyscraper of some kind. Doctor Strange, his Sanctum Sanctorum is a very famous building that we all know and love. It's a creepy building full of, you know, portals and, I don't know, other dimensional beings.
I'm sitting here thinking, do we talk about the Sanctum Sanctorum on the show a lot, or do Mike and I just talk about Sanctum Sanctorum a lot in our personal life to each other?
How and many I'm people, not should sure. we ask the audience again? How
yeah.
many, does anybody remember us saying the word Sanctum Sanctorum?
Yeah.
Not enough, apparently.
Not enough.
So we're going to up that. Don't worry. It's going to be on every other episode now. So yeah, that makes sense that you would have like a weird elevator journey with Doctor Strange. I don't know. I don't know that there's a famous elevator. I don't know if Stan Lee and Steve Ditko had a famous elevator, but you could have retconned that in, I think. But it does make sense. It all makes sense. It like make it, for something that's like a just a retool of an old ride. Like it does make a lot of. It's really smartly done.
Yeah,
he really did it.
Yeah,
Joe Rogan.
He did. You're right that there's like an odd, and maybe some of what he bumped on is that it is an elevator. Ultimately, it is your vehicle, and it was an elevator that was meant to be an elevator in this hotel. But now it almost. Anything else you do with it, probably it needs to not be an elevator. And now we're in the world of science fiction and comic books and fantasy, so we can turn this into anything that we can dream up. Mm-hmm. And where we land is gantry lift.
Yeah.
We are in a gantry lift. Has anyone yes. heard this phrase before
well, this,
in your life?
Well, Jason mentions this on the show that his dad dunked on him.
Yeah, I got my ass roasted by my dad, who grew up during the space age, and he's like, anyone who grew up watching multiple like rocket launches, all they did was talk about the astronauts are boarding the gantry lift, like again and again. So, yeah, the boomers did something right. Gantry lifts. Congrats, gang.
Gantry lift. I mean, it is good, like... You have to give it up for this ride because there's so many different things that like just are burrowed now in our brains in the same way that any like ride that's been there for 50 years, like gantry lift is a phrase I'll never forget. I'll be in a retirement home and I'll be like, gantry lift, gantry lift. And I'll be like, oh, Mr. Carlson's talking about a gantry lift again.
Sanctum Sanctorum.
Nimrod, perfect track listing. Green Day.
Mighty Akron. Something only I said.
I did that.
If Mighty Akron as a phrase is in one of the Avatar movies, it's because of me. It's true. They don't say it in the movie.
No,
it's that, me.
That mighty Akron is choking on that giant sea.
If that happens in the movie, I'm going to be like both thrilled and upset at the same time.
Entitled to royalties, yes.
Yeah.
So we got a gantry lift. What else in terms of like thinking out this thing? Well, another step of it, I think, with Rhodey is... Like, when it's a hotel, what else do you turn this thing into? Then he takes a walk, he looks at it, and he thinks, well, as long as you take the signage off, there's not a lot here that necessarily says hotel, which is kind of fourth dimensional on his part, because I see hotel. I don't think anybody could have imagined what it would become. Like, what it is, which is the collector's fortress, is not, like, an immediate... Like it is weird and crazy, and that's... I remember you saying that... pre-podcast, we weren't doing it. We were just doing it to ourselves.
Mm.
And you were...
yeah.
to our significant others. Talking to yourself. But I remember you being... Mike, you being an early adopter of, like... As soon as that art was out, I think you're like, this thing's weird. And maybe weird
yes.
is good.
Yes. I felt like a Jack Kirby or Steve Ditko or some, like, old, bizarre, like, monstrosity... Like, colors don't really match. It ended up looking a little different, I feel like, than the concept art. But, like, it definitely was, like, right up my alley as far as being, like, a bizarre, like, base. Like, as a child, I was obsessed with, like, the base of a villain or the heroes. Like, I've said this before. I was obsessed where people slept. Like, I loved knowing where the Ghostbusters, where their beds were. As a kid, I... You know what I'm talking about.
You You were really hoping to see the collector's like cot behind the desk at the office.
I would. Yeah. Do you think he sleeps in a cot?
Like when he shows that he wants to work long hours, like on the Theranos show, where it's like, "Here's my sleeping bag." I'm a total psycho. I sleep at the office sometimes.
Yeah, I would look. I would like to see his sleeping bag. I would like to see his cot. I would like to see all that stuff. So when I saw it, it felt like a crazy, weird comic book thing, which is like, now with the Camp Avengers campus is like such a, and I like it. I will say this. I don't know if we talk about it a lot. I think we've come around a little even more to Avengers campus lately in general. But I will say the thing that's like a nonsense thing, a comic book thing, is still the Guardians Tower. It still looks like a crazy thing that like I would scribble on a notebook when I was in third grade, which I think is good.
Yeah. And it's been annexed. It's now an Avengers campus.
Yes, it is technically an Avengers campus, and they added the blue goo, which I don't know. Am I getting my head of myself by talking about the blue goo already?
You can talk about the blue goo whenever your heart desires.
Which is the Kirby Crackle.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like energy.
I hear applause for the Kirby Crackle.
Kirby Crackle. We love
which
to see
it. Like energy, like how Jack Kirby would draw energy or whatever. Yeah.
It definitely looks more like goo, but
it looks a lot like goo.
You know, I like it.
So yeah, because the initial story of the ride was that, I guess there was a Tower of Terror was there, and then all of a sudden, the Guardians Tower thing just like planted.
It appeared. Yes,
it appeared. Yeah, this is what Joe Rohde said.
This is a story, just like, you know, one day a big lock with the Avengers logo showed up. Wait, remember the big lock? We should do an episode on the big lock.
Wait, when you say lock, do you mean the thing in the ground?
The big latch, like thing in the ground that they
put. That
was
more of like a manhole cover,
like,
or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not really a lock.
Well, look, this is an hour. We're going to have to figure out what to call it, and that's a second gate, and that's how the magic gets made.
Yeah.
Got one. A seed.
Perfect.
No, you're right. In the story of the ride, it is that like this just appeared one day.
Yeah. So I guess the campus was there, and then the collector's building just appeared out of nowhere as if it was transported there. And that's as far as we know. That's all we know.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is pretty mysterious, I guess. And that leaves us a lot to figure out.
Yes.
So this ride is based around the collector. Is the character Tantalir T'Von?
Tantalir T'Von.
Not Tantalir.
No, not Tantalir.
I like Chanticleer.
Chanticleer? No, Tantalir. I like Tantalir. It's Tantalir's a little like more coy. I'm Tantalir T'Von.
You should consider putting extra T in there. I'll just leave it to you to say. I'll just say T'Von from this point.
Sure.
He's from Guardians of the movie, but it's not a big part. So it's a little weird that there's a whole ride with a lot of him. Benicio del Toro being the actor who plays him.
Yes, it is. He has like one scene in the first Guardians. Does he have a scene in the second one? He's in Infinity War as well. But again, another like one scene.
Yeah.
And they took him, and then they made... This is like the most Benicio content that exists is in the theme park ride. It's like he has like one... No, you know, excuse me. He has a post-credit scene in a different Marvel movie as well, and I can't remember what it was. Thor. A lot of Thor the Dark World fans out here. Often considered the worst Marvel movie.
All of the Thor the Dark World fans are here.
I like the end of Thor. I think the last 30 minutes of Thor the Dark World are good. I think those are good minutes.
And that's how we're wrapping up the show. We're just going to play those.
Just going to show the, yeah. So he's, what was that?
He's also in What If.
Oh,
what he's in What If, the cartoon, which I have not seen. Were people upset about that? Am I not a big enough nerd for you? I got other things. First of all, I have to get to Yellowstone. I'm going to get to it.
Saying yes,
I'm gonna watch Yellowstone.
Finally, more pressure on you.
Yellowstone before What If. So in the same way that like Hondo and Naka, it's like they, I like, it's a kind of a Disney tradition. I feel like to take a character that's not the main character and make it
flesh it out a little.
Yeah, make that the kind of focal point of the of the ride or of the pre-show, I should say.
Maybe as close as we're getting in a way, because we don't get a lot of like original IP. So the most original you can get is something that somebody we haven't really met.
Yeah,
little. He's kind of a background guy.
Exactly. So
take what we can
and
get.
We love Benicio's great. Obviously, he's a very interesting actor, and I get people thought I meant that sincerely.
Should we play, if we're talking Benicio, should we pull up a clip?
Yeah,
here?
Yes, why don't we? Yes.
This odd. I don't know if people here saw the opening ceremony of this attraction. That was a weird hush. I don't know what that means.
It is a fun opening ceremony. I'll say that. Because they have, like, you know, they have some executives giving very dry, we're so excited for this new innovation, you know, and then they've got some, you know, celebs there, and they do, like...
Michael Rooker.
Rooker's there.
Rooker!
You know?
Yondu.
Yondu. That's right.
It's his character. Also...
A lot of
also
Yondu. Yeah, I like Yondu.
He's got the arrow. He shoots an arrow.
I have no idea what he is.
He's blue.
I'm experiencing by applause for the first time.
You are more of like a Rooker and Mallrats guy.
You know? Yeah, remember he eats the thing with the poop on his hands?
With the pretzel. Chocolate-covered pretzel.
Why watch other movies when you can just watch the Viewisk universe over and over and over again?
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
This video, this opening ceremony. Wait, were you saying something else about
Jesus? Oh, no. I was just setting up the clip. Like, this is kind of the end of the opening ceremony, and we get a little surprise.
Well, it's a bunch of celebrities are introduced as themselves. They come out and do nothing, and then they smile, and then there's a big sudden interruption. By the way, original character, I think, a Fita, might be saying it wrong, who knows, but I think it's the pink girl who
she's
holds her hands,
the...
where I think is original to this attraction.
Yeah, she's in the movie.
No, all right. Well, I read that somewhere, so the site was wrong, not me. Right? That's how it works.
Say the site. What is it? MagicMouse.com?
Bumper Car Boys Rumors and News.
Boo.
Led me astray again.
Those sons of bitches.
We'll get them someday.
All right, here we go.
Opening ceremony.
James kind of saying hello to someone during this.
To come to your planet and humbly grace you with this place.
He's like, doesn't seem too worried. Shapex having a giggle. Shadowy figure approaching. Who is it?
Oh my gosh.
Can't see, too much mist. Benicio!
You're Benicio del Toro?
Hello.
You can't be here. The collector would not be pleased. A Terran cannot stand in his place.
Oh, I don't think you'll mind. The opening of the Tyvon collection. Ladies and gentlemen of Terra, the Tyvon collection is officially open.
A bunch of kind of lights up and fireworks and stuff. Great. Those are like the two most mismatched actors I've ever seen. Giant theme park energy, whatever shall we do?
I don't know.
He does seem amused to be there. He also if I can remind everyone, at the time, Benicio del Toro was the spokesman for Heineken, and it seems like he just came from the rap party.
I like to think he had like 3 Carthay Manhattans and then came over there.
He knew what he was doing, he would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great. And that the opening of the attraction kind of marks the immediate turn where everybody's upset and there's change.org petitions and stuff. people are, again, it's 2016. People have like anger free time on their hands.
Yeah.
They don't know how busy they're going to be with petitions soon enough. but pretty quickly upon the opening of this, it turns so fast. Like, as soon as anybody goes on it, this is great and really fun and inventive.
Can
and
I
well
ask the audience, was anyone there on opening day? Oh, wow. That got no response. Okay. I will tell you who was at opening day. Mike and I. We were there. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, we waited...
We waited like 4.5 hours. Were we there opening day?
I swore it was opening day.
Maybe it was a day later.
I thought it was opening day because we waited 4.5 hours.
It might have been opening day, but we definitely waited 4.5 hours with like a bunch of like, we were backstage, like we were in weird places. We were waiting in weird places. That's how big the line was. And then we shared a Hulk donut.
Yes, filled with apple pie filling, the Hulk's favorite. It's those little details in the parks, you know? Those little Marvel details.
The Hulk, true believers, I want to tell you something about the Hulk. He loves apple pie filling. Excelsior.
We remember the Stan soapbox where he said it. We had something else, too. Didn't we split something else?
I think you got something at Schmoozy's and then went, this is disgusting, and I finished it.
Yeah.
Eh. The perfect pair. What'd you do without each other?
Jason, as I've said many times, he's eaten soup after me.
Well, not in the last 2.5 years. I mean, not, come on.
It was at Disneyland. And it was actually a bit.
Disneyland soup?
It was at, no, it was a bisque. It was the biscuit,
Yeah. Oh, fancy. I'd like to think that was all sarcastic. I don't think it was.
I was being made fun of, I was being made fun of by the audience.
The 4.5 hours gave you plenty of time to admire, well, first some random dumpsters and delivery roads. But once you got into the building itself, the Collector's Fortress itself, many treasures. Well,
The queue itself is great. The loop is like got a lot of weird, like pitch down noises, and it's like the collector is not just a collector of things; he's a collector of sounds.
Yeah,
he loves sounds.
there and foliage too. There's a lot of plants in the line,
yes.
And I read something that the Imagineers called it the Gardens of the Galaxy, and I think that's real cute.
It is. It is cute.
You get this video where you meet the collector and he kind of gives you the gist of things and you see the guardians trapped in their cages. A lot is explained to you there. A big info dump video, but a fun info dump video.
Yeah.
And they're in no mere cages. They are in cages that are... perfectly in the center of a big hollow building. It's attached to a lot of power. He's a collector of power too, of sounds and power and spikes and big spiky gears, which are way below the guardians. So they, if you think them just stepping out of the cage will be enough, think again.
Yes, it's full of like with all this. Look, I have not seen this new Batman. Okay, but Guardians
of the Galaxy first.
Yellowstone first. Yeah. What if? Then the Pattinson Batman. But it's full of nonsense. The Guardians of the Galaxy is full of nonsense. This is what I love as a kid. The crazy contraptions that could never be built. It's not like grounding like the collector, like you go and see him buy the cages from like Home Depot, which is how you would do it in like the Batman, the newer Batmans, where it's like so grounded in reality. Is like you see him construct the cages, and the cages have to be a certain height, and his base, you have to watch him like sign the rental agreement for it. Like grounded in reality. We need to see how this happened. We don't need to see the cages be constructed in his tower.
I figured out your clue, Riddler. I listened to your podcast. Does the Riddler have a podcast in the new movie? No. Kind of. I feel like I have heard that, and then I was worried I made it up. What?
He has a Twitch channel.
Okay, so he's hitting all the social media. Got it. Okay.
Well, this will age as well as the maze of flip phone feeds in Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So many flip phones, gonna triangulate 400 flip phones.
We have to tap into the signal of all the flip phones.
We have to flip them open and then track them. Verbatim dialogue from the Dark Knight.
Let me see your Motorola Razor so I can reverse engineer your Motorola Razor.
I probably will like this Batman. I'm just saying, it's all full of nonsense that I liked all this stuff is like crazy bases and stupid stuff that is impossible to build.
Well, speaking of like crazy little kid stuff in this, very quickly in this video, you get the Stan Lee cameo.
Yes.
Who has just one line. There's a bunch of items are trapped, and he is the first thing that lets you know that living beings are trapped in this facility as well. And he says, "Hey, do you guys validate?" And it's like as silly cornball as anything Stan Lee does. And now listen, I'm no Marvel person. I've proven that time and time again. But I love these. I love the Stan Lee cameos.
Really?
And I bet I do, especially in this, because it just reminded me how much I like that. Like, at least there'll be one part of any of these things that feels like a 70s variety special.
That's true.
That like, or you know, when we had, I think we've lost this now a little bit because certain Marvel things are, to me, endless death slogs that are very boring and confusing. And I don't know what is or.
Now hold on, that endless death slog is gonna pay off in the fifth Spider-Man. Okay.
Problem is, you aren't watching enough endless death slogs.
It's planning stuff. It's like when Arrested Development would do like call forwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if there was, you know, some of these that have been kind of a trudge recently, if there was just that one little thing puncturing, like a guy who is as good at acting as Ralph Nader hosting SNL in the 70s. Doesn't know where to look. He's done so many of them, and still it's just as bad.
Well, he was in
He
was in his 90s.
This is one of the last appearances. I'd have to think.
It could be one of them, or it could be like the 10th to last. I'm trying to think. He was in. Was he in one of the Infinity Wars?
He's in both.
He's in both of them. Okay. What's the second one?
He's in the 70s. He drives by and he says he's in the car.
And that's the last one, right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well,
wow. A perfect way to go out is the end of the first whatever phase. Or
color me impressed,
phase.
Sir. Thank you for your help.
He's. I'm trying to think about my feelings about Stan. What I think I liked about Marvel, and I love DC. What I liked about Marvel was like his weird nonsense, like his jokey tone. That they kept literally in the movies with him. Like, he was literally in there where it was oftentimes not completely, like, deathly serious, like DC. Not that there's obviously, like, 60s Batman's nonsensical, but in a good way.
Maybe he did one more. What if he pre-filmed a post-credits for the last Marvel movie, whenever that is.
Well, when do the scientists say we have? How long do they say we have? 50 years or something? Or is that just 50 years until it's like we have to stay inside all again?
All the stuff. And then hopefully by then you'll be watching Yellowstone, Michael.
Oh, I hope. I hope.
Let's talk about some of the stuff that you see, because so much, like, the stuff in the fortress is extremely cool and great for theme park nerds, because there's so many fun Easter eggy things. We have pictures of a couple of them. Feel free to call it anything.
Because
there's Marvel stuff,
too. The big one in the universe is Cosmo, which is all, like, I want to see that robot dog. Almost as good as the ride itself is this robot dog that's in one of the things. You feel bad because he's like caught in a cage, but he's very cute. I think we can all agree that Cosmo
is very cute. The other animatronics, is it Vilus? The little guys that look around that they added at some point.
There's like the technology where, like, I think it can see your eyes. Like, it knows, like, if you're
like
looking at
them. Like motion tracking.
Kind of, which obviously is some sort of crazy war technology. But being used for cute aliens.
Yeah.
But those are great. You've got a Nova Corps outfit, I believe, in the corner.
I mentioned the big Adam Warlock egg, which really gives me a lot of joy as a comic book fan. Because when I was a kid, Warlock comics and a lot of the Infinity War stuff was quarter bin fodder. Like, it may as well have been garbage, or like you're buying it to line your bird's bird cage. And now it is the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah. Were you a big Adam Warlock fan? That's not a character that's not appeared yet. I believe in the next one is appearing.
I think so. Yeah, they're setting it up.
Yes, I'm hearing yes. But were you imagining, like, living inside his egg?
I really couldn't make heads nor tails of it. And it all looked very, like, stuffy and old-fashioned compared to, like, you know, Jim Lee and Mark Silvestri and stuff drawing giant guys with big pouches and giant guns and sexy ladies, you know?
This is where I crack a beer.
Yeah.
Proceed, gentlemen.
What?
There's little runs on the podcast. It happened earlier when they were talking about Green Day albums, where we just retreat into our mind palaces. And we're just, you know.
What do you think I'm doing?
Yeah.
Who's the sassiest of the ladies on the X-Men?
The sassiest?
You just said a sassy lady.
I said sexy ladies, but
sassiest. Oh, you said sexy?
Well, yeah.
Jason, no, this is Podcast The Ride.
Body.
It's, you know, it's a cabaret. It's an alt comedy theater. You got to be a little blue.
Is this a burlesque theater to you?
This is a burlesque show?
I don't know. Look at these lights. Who knows what was here 100 years ago?
Now let's wave those pasties around on our bare chests.
Well, hold on. Let me cut you off right there. Who's the sexiest of the X-Men?
Well, we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time.
Scott just revealed that he liked Gadget from Inspector Gadget from the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, why not?
Scott likes Inspector Gadget.
I like Inspector Gadget too, yeah. I mean, look, imagine the possibilities.
The possibilities are endless.
So many tools and toys.
That's like your Darling Nikki situation.
My what?
Your Darling Nikki situation. Prince's Darling Nikki, a song about a body song by an artist named Prince, who had devices. She had a lot of devices.
Michael, the short answer to your question in terms of sassiness would be the Southern Belle Rogue. Am I right, people?
The first time Rogue's gotten a pop at Dynasty Typewriter, I think.
let's talk about the theme park stuff that you see.
Yes.
The people who the characters the yes. our loved ones who they've trapped.
Yes.
And who we get to sort of see again. I mean, the big one, our old friend Figment. Through very foggy glass.
The foggiest glass. And we asked Tony Baxter, Figment's daddy, we asked him...
That was on his W-2 for a long time.
We asked him when we interviewed him a few years ago, we said, what do you feel about that? And he said, I like it, but I wish you could see him.
Does he ever put his... Does he put his... hands against the glass like a prison visit?
Or like the end of Armageddon?
Don't want to miss a thing.
So yeah, it would be nice if they could get that glass a little cleaner.
Unless it's the new Figment, in which case, stay there and
oh,
rot.
Oh yeah.
Who else?
We have.
Oh yeah, the original Yeti.
Pretty good. That new Yeti is awesome, I will say, though.
Yeah. All right, so you can stay there. That's fine. I think maybe everybody's well-placed. This octopus from Dolores
the octopus from the
Hell yeah.
Country Bear Vacation.
Two different worlds.
Hoedown.
That's fun. So, and I've said this before on the show, like, it is interesting to me that now it is canon that the collector, Tanalir Tavon, is a big Disney Parks fan. He loves Disney Parks. I assume he has Park Stars, the vinyl toys that I do. And he's probably got a collection that rivals Richard Kraft's.
Yeah.
He will have his own.
Well, now he does. Kraft sold a bunch of that
stuff.
That's
true.
Yeah. Now he's number one.
Right.
Yeah.
But it does keep going and going. And those are the ones that you know about and that have been published and put in lists of Easter eggs. But there's one. You really got to have an eagle eye to see some of the other ones that you might not know about. Other deep Disney lore that is deep in the collector's fortress. If you look close, next, really near the Yeti, you can see the never installed Hillary robot. Where they were almost done, just had one hand to go. Pretty sure about it.
Yeah.
These are kind of, you can see these kind of all over the place in the queue. There's a bunch of crates of unsold Lassiter wine. Not terribly wanted today. There's even this stuff on the desk, on the collector's desk. Like for instance, you can actually see the shredded plans for the Avengers e-ticket.
Yeah.
We need that anymore.
Yeah.
And elsewhere, if you look close, this is kind of a recent addition. They actually kept the secret memo for billionaires only, where Robert Iger got the early tip that COVID was coming. Dear Mr. Iger, quit now. Cut from the Secret Billionaires Society. Nice letterhead. It lets you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this is more recent stuff, but they nod to the past too because we love the classic stuff, and that's why they kept Walt's strike settling gun. Break the glass, it's happening again. So keep an eye out for those the next time you go.
Yeah.
Look close. You get through all of this stuff and you get closer and closer to the office. And this is where I should reiterate that this, until recently, this ride has scared the hell out of me. I was not doing it for a long time. And finally, with some courage and alcohol as well, I began doing it. Alcohol is a coping mechanism. That's a good thing, right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Healthy. But I should say that I still, this is like as far as I go in terms of thrills, and I'm still really unnerved throughout that. Like it's that engine room. I'm so edgy during. You guys have been with me in that. Aaron, my wife, has a bunch of times. I'm like different. I'm a little like cagey. Like, don't talk to me. let me process this, and then I hear the ding, and I'm not excited about the ding. I'm going to do it. I will do it, and I'll be happy that I have done it. But
right.
As of right now, I don't feel great.
But it hasn't gotten easier.
A little bit easier, because I do know that it's fun. I've started to accept that it is really fun. Right. And I mean, in a way, maybe more fun. Splash Mountain, which I overcame with the help of Figment's daddy himself, Tony Baxter. That's still, I think the Ernest special still looms too large. The special where Ernest was, if Ernest was scared on the Guardians ride, I don't know if I'd ever get over it.
Yeah.
So I'm not fighting that.
Well, I've said this before. I went on it, a couple of years ago with my friend, and we went on it 5 times in a row. And I think that if there's a way to get over it, that's the way maybe you should do it. Although I guess with the new like lightning lane stuff, it's impossible.
Right.
Because
right.
we were doing fast pass, whatever the hell it used to be called, and it was like grabbing it in line. Oh my God! Do you remember those days?
It's hard to. So long ago.
This is your glory days. You can just going, check.
I'm going soon with a person from out of town, and I am lost. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. It's so confusing what to do and what to buy and what to go. I used to be Batman, and now I'm not Batman.
I'm just some idiot watching the Riddler's Twitch stream. You're a lurker.
Yeah.
Thanks for the bits.
I mean, have we missed anything when I think we sort of covered the... I don't know if you know this, it's this whole thing where the hands don't scan.
Yeah.
Which we like. Do his hands not scan because he's a raccoon? And they only... That is why.
Yeah.
As opposed to that they, like, put him on a list. Like, if your credit card bounced.
Well, I thought it was that, like, the guests had been bioscanned, like put in the system. Uh-huh. Like when you go to an art museum, they give you that little metal thing you clip on your shirt. Yeah.
I wouldn't know anything about art museums.
Sorry. My pinkies were up for that one.
Someone's wearing a blazer on stage.
I am.
But with a Popeye and
it was a Popeye shirt he's wearing.
I haggled down on Depop for this Islands of Adventure Popeye shirt.
Jason and I wearing our favorite IPs, Ninja Turtles, Popeye.
I kind of am too. I'm in a Hawaiian shirt. My IP is Mike Love.
Universally beloved.
Yeah, the best.
Mike Love.
Yeah.
The
Rocket animatronic.
Oh,
yeah,
it's great.
The greatest.
Oh,
yeah,
it's really good.
Undeniable. Plus,
he hits his little head on the pipe.
He hits his little head. You see his little tail move around, and if he's not working for some reason, there's a little video. I don't mind that. I mean, the video's okay. You know, they got a plan.
The video's okay, but it is so disappointing when the video plays.
Yeah.
Because, like, you want to see him fall because he falls out of a vent. He doesn't really, but they make it look like that. And he, like, he's... Well, it's possible they dropped the robot
out of
a vent.
Why are you ruining this?
I'm sorry. I didn't know if you knew that.
Theme parks have illusions.
His little paws, maybe that's why his hands don't scan because they're really more like paws.
They
right?
are paws. Yeah.
They little paws grabs the Walkman on the way out too, setting up the
it's
like.
It's so
the ride.
Good. It's maybe yeah. it's as good as the ride itself. That pre-show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would just go to see that and him grab the thing, and.
Excuse me, coming through, trying to get out. Pardon.
I saw the Walkman grab, and I'm out of here.
Walkman grab.
That's enough for me.
There's different in the because there's two rooms. There's two like loading rooms or two pre-show rooms. There's different stuff in each room as well. There's different artifacts, and like Coulson's gun is in one of the rooms. Agent Coulson, Clark Gregg, married to what? Jennifer B. I was going to say Jennifer Beals. Jennifer Grey, thank you. Married. Clark Gregg's character has a big gun in the Avengers. And the big gun, Scott, is in one of the rooms. And I get excited when I get the big gun room.
There's also like stationery with a little memo on it from XS Tech, the fake company from Alien Encounter.
Yes, very good. Again, he's a big parks collector. He loves Alien Encounter. We should fast forward. Also, the painting of Goldblum and Benicio is really good. With their plan,
I don't think I know about that.
It's what? It's outside
it's
when you walk by it.
In between.
Uh-huh. Jason, can you bring that up on the phone?
Yeah. In between.
In between the.
Bring that up on your phone.
Okay.
You have to have seen this.
No, I have not.
What?
Well, man,
it's the Grandmaster from Thor Ragnarok.
And maybe I was mentally skipping this cue.
No. And then there's all these helmets, these very Kirby style like helmet stuff or face whatever.
Celestials.
You call them. Celestials. Yeah. Thank you, Jason. And I love.
Why is Jason pulling it up and not you?
Because I have control of this iPad and it's very delicate,
no,
folks. The
right.
whole show could fall apart if I go surf the web.
All right.
These fine people came out. They want to see a professional show.
They came out to see a guy hold his phone up to another guy and the other guy to go, oh.
I was at least talking. They're on the edge of their seats.
Thanks for your tickets.
But I love being in the room. I am very, at this point, I've seen the show so many times that I really try to get out of the way of people because it's a very tight squeeze. And I feel that oftentimes, like, if I'm not paying attention, I am blocking a child. And I try my best to get in the back, but also that strategically, as you people know, you got to get out first so you get on the ride quicker.
Yeah.
So you still do, because those are the things you can teach your friend who's like that Haunted Mansion dash. Like, no, don't enjoy it or look at anything. Go right to the door that is, yeah. You know, open first.
Well, if it's a...
That's what being a theme park fan is.
Here's the thing, though. It's like his first time at Disneyland, so I want him to appreciate the cues.
Right.
Nice.
That gets an ooh.
Some reference.
Scott, here's the painting. They're playing some sort of cosmic board game. Goldblum's being a bad sport and knocking it off.
Have you seen that?
No. And wait, and show it to me one more time. Oh. All right. Great, got it.
That legitimately blows my mind.
Yeah, somehow I missed that. Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Know. Yeah.
You must be in such panic.
Part of it, yes, yeah, yeah. You can't talk about it. Looking at the ground, thinking about my life, taking it all in case things don't work out.
And then there's me next to you, like the Buddha under the Bodhi tree at Total Peace.
Do have to talk about this, right? We are losing valuable minutes.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
So to talk about, I mean, where to start? I mean, a big thing that we have to talk about is songs, and that is a very fun facet of this attraction. Well, why don't I just like? I'm curious if there's a favorite. So I'm gonna say them really quick. And if you know your favorite, I'll just wait for it. Hopefully you have it locked and loaded already. Favorites or in terms of, and it could be song, but it could also be like, oh, this is just a fun match with the attraction, a good amount of drops and chaos, something about the chemistry. All right, we got Steppenwolf, Born to Be Wild.
Really?
It's a
wow.
Pretty good one. I like
nothing. No, they're right. There. They're right.
Yeah.
It's not the best.
I was rolling my eyes at Steppenwolf. I was like, is there anything interesting about Steppenwolf? And I found out the writer of that song, his name, man, is Mars Bonfire.
Wow, really?
Yes, the writer of the writer of the band or the song in Steppenwolf. Real name, Dennis Edmonton.
About right.
Okay, what about Jackson 5, I Want You Back? Solid candidate. Yeah. Elvis Presley, Burning Love. Not really. Ooh. Okay, yeah, I'm going to agree with that one. Edgar Winter Group, Free Ride. Yeah. That one's mine, I'm going to say. Parliament, Give Up the Funk.
Yeah, I think that's up there.
And Pat Benatar, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Was it between
Benatar?
That's
a big split, yeah.
And I Want You Back, potentially?
Yeah.
Edgar Winter did good, too.
Edgar Winter did do well. Congrats.
He always did, with everything. With looking cool.
I thought Elvis didn't get it. I think Burning Love is more fun than the audience gave him credit
that
for.
That surprises me, because I forget it's there.
Yeah.
It seems like...
It doesn't match with some of the others, in a way.
Yeah. Do we... I mean, I know this is the... This is not about the overlay, but just out of curiosity... Who thinks Monsters After Dark is the best one? Yeah, it is.
This is, okay, well, Monsters After Dark, really quick. This came up on the show for a second. That was the last step for me, because I knew it was, I thought it was like a more intense drop pattern. I'm not totally sure if it is. But I was like really edgy that day. Griffin yes. Newman was with us, XNLP chair legend Griffin Newman. There you go. Try that, Griffin. He brought up later, like, you were pretty edgy, and I think the reason I was edgy is because of the way that the experience and the song were built up by you,
yes.
Mike. Because correct. I feel like you had described it, and maybe I was projecting, and I'm scared anyway, but I was imagining like the most intense black metal
like math music. We're just like it's
double bass drum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all the gear. It's where I thought the song was going to be so terrifying and make it just kind of an agonizing.
The scariest experience. Song ever.
That's somehow. I feel like there was something that you said me think that, and I guess this is my fault for how I processed it. But then getting on it and then hearing Monsters After Dark. Monsters After Dark.
Well, hold on. It is very loud. I'll say that.
Yeah. That might be what you were referring to.
Were you just terrified at the concept of like, this ride takes place chronologically after the normal version of this ride?
Boggled by the timeline.
With Monsters After Dark, I really like that the cast members wear like fucked up versions of their normal uniform. There's like burn marks and like holes, and some people really get into it. And like I saw a video online where like the guy at the end like bursts in screaming to unload you, and the whole car like jumped, and I was like, that seems really fun. Mm-hmm.
It's looked at, all that stuff is really great, and it's gonna be in its own episode.
probably for the best. We gotta move here. Somebody, this theater's gonna shut down. So, we should talk about. I don't know. Well, Mike, you take it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only thing I would say is like on the Rip Ride Rocket at Universal, they have like songs and they have secret songs, which is really exciting to me. I forget how you do it. You have to punch in something on the screen to get different secret songs. Is that how it works, Jason?
Yeah, and if you punch in a really secret code, it'll just stop on that lift hill for hours at a time.
If you spill soda on it or something.
Yeah.
All right, let me scoot. So I people don't know there's also a secret menu of songs for this ride, too. And I'm going to zoom through some slides of Mr. Tom Morrow. We don't have time.
More Tom Morrow content coming soon.
So here's some of the secret.
My dear friends, this is the moment I've been waiting for.
The rocket unplugs you and starts things rock.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take it.
Pretty good, yeah. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, Britain, mama.
I like
my dear friends.
So yeah, there's a lot of them actually. We're doing six of them.
The rocket unplugs you and starts things rock.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op. Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Pretty fun.
Op, op, op.
Right? Yeah, you do like a horse thing. Jason, can you do it?
No, I don't want to do it.
Just a little though.
Just a little, like because I
one of them.
Horse thing.
Do that? You have to ride it.
What's that? What are you
he
doing?
He does like a horse.
That's a horse thing.
He does like after the one horse thing, he like kicks to the side.
That was something from the 20s.
I'm gonna blame that. I'm going to blame that on my bum leg.
Yeah.
My dear friends,
right, here we have a few more.
The rocket unplugs you and starts things rock.
This is this is also called Monsters After Dark. here we go. How excited would you be if that played?
No one would scream or anything.
No, they would be fine.
The rocket unplugs you and starts things rock.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain.
Just a solemn ride.
The only thing that's real.
It usually makes you laugh. That one makes you cry.
Yeah. The needle tears a hole. That old familiar sting.
Now, people might not know this one, so you have to listen closely.
The rocket unplugs you and starts things rock.
Fastest slow, low is high, stop is go, and that is why every second Wednesday is a hurdle.
Oh, I know this.
From 8 to 9, all is well, then I roll over on my shell and all, because the world is turning turtle.
Turtle.
Yeah. Is night, dog is cat.
It's our favorite character, right, Top G, from Mary Poppins Returns.
Listening up to my...
This is saying something. This is saying something. Might be my least favorite runner. Might be number one with the...
Well, wait, Scott. How about this runner?
No. I asked for it.
Oh.
My dear friends, this is the moment I've been waiting for. The Rocket unplugs you and starts things rock.
Could become fully aware of what existed in the cigar store next door to this restaurant, I think it would just blow your brains out. Have a real relationship with a person that goes on for years, well, that's completely unpredictable. See, that's why I think that people have affairs.
Andre Gregory Wallace Shawn, folks.
Okay.
A great film.
When so, I was younger, I used to care about art and music, and now I'm 36 and I only care about hand scanning.
That's a smart joke.
Topical. Boy. It's a meme going around,
you
folks.
You said it. Well, geez. I mean, we've been blasting through this, and our time is winding down already in typical fashion, where the ride has barely been discussed. Anything else we want to throw out? You know, they're good. Like, I like everything that happens on it. They're all all the little tableaus are a lot of fun. Very confusing. They're like, you know, they're like little TikToks. It's a tower of TikToks.
Yes.
There's funny Batista stuff. Like, two of the ride profiles, he like jumps out of the monster's mouth and punches it in the face and goes, "You're welcome."
Yeah.
And then at the every version at the end, when you're going back into, because you have to like go back backwards into the elevator shaft, and then when you're resetting at the very end, he goes like, "Why are you thanking them? They didn't do anything."
Yes.
He did all the
it's
biting.
Really quiet. It's kind of quiet. Not really quiet, but kind of quiet, and you can easily miss it, but it is funny, and he is very funny in those movies. Mm-hmm. All the video things are pretty fun. At the end, you get to see Cosmo has been freed, which is so, so satisfying. As a dog lover of myself, you see the dog has been freed, and they're getting in the ship.
Ladies and gentlemen, Edwin. I wish, if that was possible. It's an animal actor show.
He humps the shit out of my leg.
Everyone starts going wild.
Pony plays. Bow, bow, bow.
As you're walking out, and I've never caught this, but as you're walking out, you can like hear the collector yelling, and apparently sometimes you can listen and you can hear Howard the Duck making fun of him, which I think is great. They used to sell stuffed Howard the Duck and stuffed Cosmo exit, and so I mean they should bring that back, and we need more Howard the Duck based content, you know.
He's on What If, and it's Seth Green. Is that all correct?
Yeah.
All right. So those websites were correct.
And then the last thing I'll say, I've said it before, I think, on the show, is that at this point now I'm spoiled from the actual ride itself on Guardians, that when I go on Tower in Orlando, the ride itself feels empty. I feel it's not as fun because it's just dark up and down, and there's no soundtrack. There's nothing happening. Yeah, boo me all you want. The Hannibal Buress gif. Boo me. You know I'm right. They should now, with all the towers, they should do... It doesn't have to be fun, but they should have music.
It doesn't have to be fun.
They should have music and effects as you go up and down. They should be opening the door and you see like Rod Serling or Burgess Meredith, and he's his glasses are broken. Shatner on the plane opens it up. Shatner's pointing at you. He's like, "I see them. They're there.
I'm on the outside of this now."
Yeah. So do deepfake Burgess Meredith or young Shatner.
Oh, you're speaking my language now.
All the famous episodes.
You know, it is weird, I think, that now, like, that this type of attraction, the Tower of Terror, ever at any point was just one drop, and that's the end of
right?
The multiple drops and the up and down and the back and forth is so clearly so much of the experience. And this thing is just so... It's so chaotic. You don't know what's going to happen when a door opens. You don't know where you're going to be. It's a blast. They did a great job with it. They overcame like everything Slate thought and everything we all thought. I think it's just such a great fun experience.
It's maybe my favorite ride at Disneyland.
That's an applause I was going to ask for. I know it was mixed on do we like that they did or not. But are there people here who would say favorite ride? Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry. I wish I had a classier choice.
What's classy?
Great Haunted moments Mansion? With Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah.
Thing where you learn. And you know what we also haven't mentioned? Is that Disneyland? Mm.
That's great. See, that's what I was thinking. Like, Rocket. So Rocket has knowledge of theme parks on Earth.
Yeah.
But is he more of a casual fan, and the collector is the big fan. It's still funny to think about Rocket going like, I'm sick of Universal screen rides. Seems like JPEG stepped in it again.
He has opinions, we know.
Yeah.
So
but that's sort of bringing us to the end of our time, except for one thing, and I would call this a plus up. This is, you know, we talked about alternate music that they could do. And, it's classic rock, right? There's a lot of classic rock. But you know what else is a classic already after just 5 years is this attraction. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
It's true.
Every bit of it, the lore, the info dumps, the pre-shows, the complicated backstory. It's already classic. And I think that in the future, they could acknowledge it and own it and make their own mythology part of the experience and part of the music. And that is why... We prepared a little something. Disney, if you're listening, first of all, sorry about all this stuff up until now. But besides that, you might want to consider throwing this little ditty into the mix. All right, here we go.
Your hands, they ain't mine, they ain't mine, they ain't mine.
Okay, everybody.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you something. My hands, they do not scan. So I got a new plan. They gotta scan your hands.
Thank you all so much for coming out. Thanks to Dynasty Typewriter. Thanks to Eileen in the booth. Thanks to Aaron Gardner for helping on the logo and for ironing my shirt. And thanks all of you so much for coming out. We've missed you so much. Thanks for not forgetting about us in 2 years.
Thank you.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.